countries in Asia, and I think if once they do that, it would be good to bring the Europeans in, because we do have a global economy, and it's going to be the job of the governments to help those who are affected by this to make sure that they can transition into something else. But I don't think that basically Europe going back to where it was in the beginning of the 20th century is the way to go.
Well, you know, this is what I find interesting, Dean Henderson. We have Lawrence Korb talking about this Trans-Pacific Partnership. But from what I understand, it's shrouded in secrecy. The details are not even out there. And even members of Congress, they're not informed about this. And there's something fishy going on. It is said to be for the corporations. But this whole notion, like the TTIP or TPP with the Far East, like this EU experiment, these are all just wanting to have a central command controlling the world, doesn't it? And we could see how the Eurozone is doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely right. The last thing we need is another secretive trade agreement decided by, you know, former executives from Cargill and ExxonMobil, and that's who sits on these GATT, NAFTA, WTO councils. It doesn't help the people. It's a race to the bottom. We've destroyed wealth. They're destroying wealth throughout the country. We have close to an $18 trillion debt in this country. The economy's not coming back in this country. It's a myth. I mean, there's a spike, temporary spike. The gas prices will help. But generally what we're seeing is deflation. That's why the Fed's had interest rates at zero for what? How many years now? I mean, it's got to be a record. They can't raise them. They've always been worried about deflation. So they hyperinflated oil, hyperinflated commodities, tried to basically reflate their way out of this thing through wars in Syria, wars with ISIS, wars with whoever they could, basically start a war with. It hasn't worked. So it's just unraveling of globalization. All these trade agreements, unjust trade agreements will go with it. Actually, people will be moving out of trade agreements in mass, and it's actually going to be the countries that trade and have more autonomy from these processes of globalization, these unjust processes, who will succeed the most, such as Russia, such as Iran, such as countries who are not as dependent on that supply chain, which is all corporations. It doesn't help the people of those countries. The TPP won't help the people of China. It won't help the people of the United States. It'll help the corporations and the banks and the families that own the banks and ultimately the Rothschild banking empire.
Lawrence Korb, the contagion effect is very much a worry at this point. The European Union seems to indicate that if German Chancellor, for example, has come out and said, we're not going to renegotiate. Syriza Party wants to raise pensions. They want to do away with half the debt. They want to bring back all those public services that at this point Greece doesn't have, many of them. So do you think there'll be contagion, like in the case of Spain, where they're grappling with Catalonia, who is obviously a secessionist movement, not to mention the new political party, Podemos. We have also other regions, like in France, perhaps. And also in Spain, you have the Basque region on the other side of that country. So is contagion going to be imminent?
Well, I think it's really up to the leadership, particularly of Germany, as well as the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, if they can use common sense. And as I say, it's very similar to what happened in the United States. There was a great deal of concern among people about bailing out General Motors, for example, or AIG, the big insurance company. And yes, it did help certain people, but the overall impact on the economy was good. I mean, there was a big debate in the United States in the early 90s about NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, but the 90s was a period of unprecedented growth in the United States. And at the beginning of the 20th century, we had not only balanced our budget, but we were projecting eliminating the deficit. Then you got involved in a couple of wars and didn't raise taxes to pay for them. And then there was some lax regulations. And then, of course, you had the financial meltdown. But it wasn't the trade things that did it. It was a foreign policy that the Bush administration didn't want to pay for.
Dean Henderson, I'm sure you have a reaction to the Lawrence Korb there.
Well, I just disagree with that. I mean, I think what we've destroyed, we've gutted the American economy. I mean, yeah, okay, for 10 years it worked. When you repeal Glass-Steagall and you cut welfare to work and you destroy the social fabric and you start charging people to hike on national forest trails, and there's no public commons anywhere in this country anymore other than maybe a library here and there. And so you've gutted that public sector. And what Lawrence said initially was right, was FDR, was, okay, the stimulus should have been 10 times as large. We've got crumbling infrastructure in this country. We just had another bridge overpass go down. I think it was Pennsylvania. It killed some people. Just came down because it was so bad. And if we could just take that money from the wars he's talking about, and you're right, Lawrence, we need to raise taxes on the wealthy. The Bush tax cuts have got to go. We've got to, you know, I mean, geez, under FDR, the rich were paying 90%. Under Nixon, a Republican, they were paying 72. You know, it's ridiculous that they're paying this whatever low percentage, near 30%, 33% that they're paying. So, yeah, you're right about those things. But I disagree with you about the globalization. I think it's a part and parcel of the concentration of economic wealth in this country, which we have not seen since, say, the 1890s. And it's catching up to us now. That's why the first 10 years worked. The second 10 years, not so much. You know, we're back in deficit, we're back in debt, and we're doing this crawl along the bottom right now where, you know, everybody's looking for some straw to say it's getting better, but in fact, it's just not. And also the factor of technology that goes with globalization. Corporations have money to invest in technology, so technology replaces human workers. So those jobs are never coming back. You see, there's a permanent displacement of workers that's going on in this global economy. So some of the stuff we have to do is just build bridges, get guys behind shovels and wheelbarrows and mixers, see, and get them back to working with their hands and getting paid good, and so they can afford to buy stuff more, and they will.
Well, Lawrence Korb, one of the interesting things that came out of the World Economic Forum recently in Davos was income inequality, something that Chair Yellen talked about, said it's a century since the U.S. has seen such wide income gap. And income inequality. It was interesting in the respect that at Davos, it was Oxfam raising the alarm bell there for the most part. Do you think that given Tsipras' win, given the fact that it's a far-right party, and you have many of these far-right parties or left parties in Europe actually gaining popularity, that this is going to give them momentum in their respective countries?
Well, I think it really depends upon how the so-called leftist party in Greece handles it. They had to make an agreement with them to get the majority, but they're the last thing you want, you know, running things like Marine Le Pen, you know, in France, and, you know, some of her anti-immigrant, anti-Semitic comments. No, that's not what we need. I agree there's income inequality in the United States, and that's why President Obama in his State of the Union address last week was talking about that. The economy overall is better, but the growth among the middle class and the lower middle class is not what it should be, and we need to fix that. And that's one of the reasons he recommended raising the tax on corporate profits.
I guess my question wasn't really addressed properly there, so I'll try it with you, Dean Henderson. You know, with these bailouts, the 2008 meltdown, talk about bailouts. We could talk about TARP in the U.S. In Europe, obviously, you got the bailouts coming from the troika of lenders, respective countries like Greece. But what did it really do? Did it translate down to the people? It didn't, did it? And you got the people on top that really benefited, which is one of the reasons why you have this income inequality.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, example, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase gets bigger. You know, they get basically pretty much handed the carcass of Merrill Lynch, and here you go. They were given Washington Mutual in much the same manner, the biggest SNL lender in this country, of Seattle. Citigroup was given, who was it? You know, they were just handed, Barclays was given Lehman Brothers. I mean, they were just handed the carcasses of these dead banks and said, here you go. And so they doubled their assets. I mean, it was amazing. And that's so underreported in this country that that's really what happened. But that's really what happened. And meanwhile, the economy, yeah, it's just scraping along the bottom. And the working people haven't seen anything. In fact, there's been news stories just in the last week about how the real wages have gone down in this country. It's amazing. You know, and you can just look around you and see this sort of the decrepitness of this country. I mean, I've been to Malaysia. There's super highways. There's solar panels on everybody's roof. And, you know, here we can't, build an airport because it costs too much. But the American public debate has moved so far to the right, you see, that this is why, you know, the Syriza party is bad. I mean, you can't compare these guys to Le Pen. It's like they're not like that. They're leftists. They're for the workers. They don't care about, you know, bashing immigrants. They welcome them. They're for the working class all over the world. And you're just going to see the more and more of this. This Cuba rapprochement is a good thing. I mean, it's just the inevitable march of history. But this country's got so right-wing through right-wing talk radio, Fox News, and even CNN. They all follow suit. They bow to the Republicans. They bow to the right. The Democrats do. And it's time to stand up and help the working people. Okay. And that's what Syriza Party is going to do.
Let me squeeze Lawrence Korb in here. So Lawrence Korb, a future Europe with a Greek exit, what would it look like?
Well, I think if you do that, then basically you're going to have the beginning of the end of the Eurozone and the European Union. That, to me, I think would not be the what you want. That's why I think cooler heads will prevail and they'll work out some agreement with the Greeks, because I think the people in Greece, and I think in a lot of other countries, are basically saying you pursued the wrong policy. You should have had a policy much like the United States. And I agree with my colleague here. We should be fixing our roads and bridges and spending a lot more money on that rather than overseas adventures.
Very well. We're going to unfortunately have to end it there. Thank you very much, though. Let me thank our guest, Dean Henderson, author of Big Oil and the Bankers, who spoke to us from Missouri. And you were just listening to Lawrence Korb from Washington. He's a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Center for American Progress. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitavoy and the entire team here in the Capitol, Tehran, it's goodbye.